Love the nouns, love the pronouns, impersonal and personal. Love the words from ELFM.
Quando eu canto e a chuva cai.
Welcome to East Leeds Community Radio. This is Love the Words number 249. I'm Jimmy Andrex and this is Alec Clegg's Still Dreams. So, why are we here? Well, whenever I ask who he is, nobody's ever heard of him. His monument at Yorkshire Sculpture Park, it's covered in nettles and you can't sit on it. The West Riding as a concept exists largely for people with flagpoles in the garden. Nostalgia's not as good as it used to be, is it? And memory, it's a faulty construct. Now, my dad were a bricklayer. He had the heart of a lion and a lifetime ban from Chester Zoo. I'm a poet, and he used to ask me, what's it for, this poetry? And I'd have to say, well, it's to loosen the noose of the lie of austerity, to tackle the riddle of our own creativity, to get mortal hissing out of our head onto a page or onto some stage. It's a clumsy homemade arrowhead for poking other people's abilities. It's a weapon made with sense and rhythm, words and images in busy patterns, making new meaning like noisy trees in empty forests. And once unleashed, it's out and about and out of control, no longer mine but a Frankenstein thought, limping off its slab, lunging out to apathy, washed down with beer, wine or even cups of tea. Because we want this poetry badly. Now, this poetry might keep you awake at 4 a.m. This poetry might lead to mistakes, which then, in turn, lead to people you'd never have met. So, no regrets and no safe bets. And sometimes, safety ceases to matter when your head's already misfiring in tatters. Stress, distress, self-confessed. Misfits mistaken for mischief makers, not chemical miracles in the image of creator. We need this poetry. We need this poetry. We need this poetry badly. Like a man needs a plan, like a band needs a van, like a light needs a night, like your dog needs a walk, like a nation needs compassion, like I need some retro fashion, like Man United need a few more tankings, like Boris Johnson still needs a spanking. We need this poetry, we need this poetry, we need this poetry to go deeper. Deeper than an ocean trench, in search of life as we don't know it yet, or just fun and shallow as an unplanned paddle. This is the job of the poet. Now, this poetry might lift you, this poetry might gift you opportunities as yet unseen or unknown. This poetry might make even you, listener, so bold as to have a go yourself. We want your poetry. We want your poetry. We want your poetry badly. We need this poetry. We need this poetry. We need this poetry badly right now. And poetry is part of what makes us. So, what makes us and what made Clegg? Well, St Clement Danes School made Clegg. Moseley's fascists putting stickers on nearby lampposts with the senior boys. Fee payers in a different form to scholarship boys. Fee payers got the best teachers. The scholarship boys' teachers called them scum. No caning though, just lines and cube numbers. Meanwhile, in Kettlethorpe, in the 1970s, in the West Riding, it were bad TV, the Beatles and taping songs off the radio. It was a glorious mess of culture, wafting like Noel Coward's quips about cheap perfume. I didn't notice him in the Italian job, though. There are jewels in the crown of England's glory, and every jewel shines a thousand ways. Algorithms and masochism and Brompton bikes, Tyson Fury, trial by jury, private eye, christening booze up sunburnt arms, Teletubbies and dairy farms, Croydon facelifts, Waterloo sunsets, Alan Turing, majorettes, Morris dancers, boiled ham, Just a Minute and Peter Pan. All the jewels in the crown of England's glory, too numerous to mention but a few, and everyone could tell a different story and show old England's glory something new. Obscene chanting, double glazing, bargain hunt, heritage railways, damp bank holidays, toffs in punts, Tolkien rolling, bacon rolls, match of the day and crown green bowls, David Attenborough, Mary Stopes, LBW, Antiques Roadshow, Wallace and Gromit and Custard Creams, Rugby League and Pie and Peas. With Lenny Henry, Arthur Daly, Michael Rosen, Bernie Clifton, Ian Hislop, Jane Austen, Esther Ranson, Frank Bruno and all. Esther Ranson, Frank Bruno and all. All the jewels in the crown of England's glory, too numerous to mention but a few. And everyone could tell a different story and show old England's glory something new. Boadicea and Carry On Cleo and Bradley Walsh, Ian Fleming, Derek Griffiths, Inspector Morse, Emily Maitlis, Mothers-in-Law, Valerie Singleton, World at War, Emmeline Pankhurst, Virginia Woolf, Stretching Parkhurst, Beowulf, Rosalind Franklin, Berners-Lee, White Van Man and Grayson Perry. England's glory. So what was it like, really? Well, it wasn't like Ask the Family. It was Dad insisting Come Dancing should be done under gunfire. It was some big lads destroying the Lady Chapel by the lake. It was Narnia. It was Right Said Fred by Bernard Cribbins. It were a Shropshire Lad on Radio 1. It were Pitch Invasions. It were Roger McGough on Top of the Pops. It was Cyril Fletcher's Odd Odds on That's Life. It were Pam Ayres on Nationwide. It was the Open University when there were nothing else on. And it was this.
You could hear the offbeats pound as they raced across the ground, and the clatter of the wheels as they spun round and round. And he galloped into Market Street, his badge upon his chest. His name was Ernie, and he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie loved a widow, a lady known as Sue. She lived all alone in Lily Lane at number 22. They said she was too good for him. She was haughty, proud and chic. But Ernie got his cocoa there 3 times every week. They called him Ernie. And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. She said she'd like to bathe in milk. He said, all right, sweetheart. And when he'd finished work one night, he loaded up the cart. He said, you want it pasteurized, cause pasteurized is best. She says, Ernie, I'll be happy if it comes up to me chest. That tickled old Ernie. And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Oh. Now, Ernie had a rival, a evil-looking man called Two-Ton Ted from Teddington, and he drove the baker's van. He tempted her with his treacle tarts and his tasty oatmeal bread, and when she seen the size of his hot meat pies, it very near turned her head. She nearly swooned at his macaroon, and he said, now, if you treat me right, you'll have hot rolls every morning and crumpets every night. He knew once she sampled his layer cake, he'd have his wicked way, and all Ernie had to offer was a pint of milk a day. Poor Ernie! And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. One lunchtime, Ted saw Ernie's awesome cart outside her door. It drove him mad to find it was still there at 4:30. And as he leapt down from his van, off blood through his veins did course, and he went across to Ernie's cart, and he didn't half kick his horse, whose name was Trigger. And he pulled the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie rushed out into the street, his gold top in his hand. He said, if you want to marry Susie, you fight for her like a man. Oh, why don't we play cards for her, he sneeringly replied. And just to make it interesting, we'll have a shilling on the side. Now Ernie dragged him from his van, and beneath the blazing sun, they stood there face to face, and Ted went for his bun. But Ernie was too quick, things didn't go the way Ted planned, and a strawberry-flavoured yoghurt sent it spinning from his hand. Now Sue, she ran between them and tried to keep them apart, And Ernie pushed her aside, and a rock cake caught him underneath his arch. And he looked up in pained surprise, and the concrete hardened crust of a stale pork pie caught him in the eye, and Ernie bit the dust. Poor Ernie!
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Ernie was only 52. He didn't want to die. And now he's gone to make deliveries in that milk round in the sky, where the customers are angels and ferocious dogs are banned, and a milkman's life is full of fun in that fairy dairy land. But a woman's needs are manifold, and Sue, she married Ted. But strange things happened on their wedding night as they lay in their bed. Was that the trees a-rustling, or the hinges of the gate? Or Ernie's ghostly gold tops a-rattling in their crate? They won't forget Ernie.
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
So, what was happening on the choir in West Riding schools? It was Mrs. Stocks in to play piano Tuesday afternoon for Music and Movement. Tiny little steps, big giant steps, peas and potatoes between your toes, a story at the end of every day, no numeracy hour, no targets, no homework till you were 12. They once asked her to sign a form to allow it at 11. My dad said, nah, he'll get plenty when he's older. We had stories in the middle of the day, cider with Rosie all the way through. The fever scene made me faint. No worksheets, no extension activities, no cross-curricular links. The West Riding, all it lacked was a beach. Here's a photo, a black and white photo. A schoolboy sitting at an easel painting, light through the window illuminating the vase of flowers in his painting like something an old Dutch master created. A boy making art, cos art needs making. Here's a painting, a colour painting. Young girl in a library reading, light through the window illuminating a coloured world of literal dreaming, stifled hallelujahs speaking. A child reading books, cos books need reading. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting. Stifled hallelujahs speaking to children in the old West Riding. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting. Stifled hallelujahs speaking. Here's a video, a local news video. Leeds lads dancing instead of fighting, single glazing cold but steaming, light through the windows illuminating a coloured world of physical dreaming. Art forming minds, cos minds need feeding. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting, moving for the sake of moving, stifled hallelujahs speaking. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting, moving for the sake of moving, stifled hallelujahs singing. Running fingers through grey hair, looking down from the foggy hill in pity on their grandkids' budget blazers of uniformity, and wept when they remembered. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting, moving for the sake of moving, stifled hallelujahs speaking. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting, moving for the sake of moving, stifled hallelujahs singing. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in this sight. Drawing pebbles picked up at the seaside. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting, dancing for the sake of dancing, stifled hallelujahs singing. Reading for the sake of reading, painting for the sake of painting, moving for the sake of moving, stifled hallelujahs singing. So how did all this change me? Middle schools. We were treated like older kids. They taught us French. Properly. How the good news was brought from Ghent to Aix. Listening to Claude François records. Pourquoi pleurer? Why is it raining? Nevi knew he wrote My Way. Exchange visits. I had a cough. The prescription of suppositories for minor ailments is absolutely normal and no cause for embarrassment, the leaflet had said. I didn't know then what a suppository was. I did now. Il n'y a pas untrue, I shouted as I tried to stuff a 45 calibre sight gag somewhere up me coccyx. This wasn't buttercup syrup. They took an hour to stop howling. I stopped coughing. So I found myself in one of Europe's first automated factories with me pen friend's dad and his mate. Courtesy of a long-gone post-war twin town initiative nowadays derided as woolly and unsafe. Which had dared to plant our council house outlook in sun-dried families who fed us better than our mums. Not mum's fault, I quite like beans and chips. Got to ride real racing bikes, got cab rides in trains, got suntanned in November, which messed irrevocably with me brains. Me dad had told me they were all backward and dirty abroad, you see, which felt close to home to me. It till the middle of what in our house at least passed for debate. The phrase British jobs made me guts tighten. In Castleford, Castrock or Blentz, redundancy's tragedy meant empty plates for friends. A worker is a worker. A welcome is a welcome. A whole family once learned happy birthday in a second language just for me. The buildings were all post-1945. My friend's family could still remember it all. The darkness and the silence and reprisals outside the old town hall. Cut to the now. Do I really have to choose, or do I stare at a wall of Twitter accounts with lots of little flags and enmity? Or do I drive 1,000 miles to apologise to the families? Cassier, Marty, Arnoldi. Flags never fed me. Flags never fed me. Flags never fed me. Flags never fed me. Stay or go? In October 1992, the Conservative government announced mass pit closures with a loss of 31,000 miners' jobs. That weekend, as it happened, Great Britain Rugby League were playing Australia at Wembley. A Guardian journalist was on our coach and asked me, did you ever want to go down the pit? Down the pit? I'd done a languages degree. I was a teacher now. I had a career that didn't involve danger, lung disease and borderline xenophobia. Here, in the West Riding. Don't get me wrong, utopia it wasn't. When the bus came, people still came out to look at it. We weren't twinned with anywhere, but we had a suicide pact with Gdansk. Stay or go? Go where? Stay or go? I could barely afford an house here in the West Riding. Stay or go? This is home. Here in the West Riding, this place made me what I was, middle class and frustrated. If you hate this bitter town so much, why don't you just leave? Like a battered wife getting stitched up who says she still believes in a love that knows her name and cried, not for her wound, but when the staffy died. There's four trains an hour, three firms in two directions, to towns with more beggars and jewellers, and a lot less imitation. But one thing or another always seems to hold you back, like a heart valve leaking or a panic attack. Whining like a bitten, beaten bull terrier in a pit. Studded choke chains comfortable, a suffocating fit. Slavering, alert, right down to the whites. Eyes down for second-hand thrills on Friday nights. Out of loyalty or necessity, curled up at home. Comfort in routine disasters, waiting by the phone. While your frailties all blossom like fields of sunset spires and some kid who plies a lamppost with an old bike tyre. So, where are we now? Benny Hill was odd, and his comedy was end of the pier, but, uniquely it seems, he wasn't groping, raping or bullying anybody. We may have bolted the stable door way too late, but nowadays people kid themselves us kids have been safer then. We ditched ideas like Clegg's in favour of an education we were convinced we had by people with equally faulty memories and the same trickle-down beliefs as they had two world wars ago. We swapped exchange visits for blue passports. We swapped prosperity for sovereignty. We swapped promise for nostalgia. We swapped believing in better for believing the worst. We stuck our heads in our phones and enabled politicians to give us slogans and advice instead of solutions. So here are some directions to the sunlit uplands. Get a better paid job, get a second job, wear an extra jumper, eat for 30p, swim in sewage, live with COVID. Don't call an ambulance, live without fresh fruit and veg, stop buying lattes and Netflix, live with your parents, stop talking down Britain, stop ruining Brexit and shut up. Get a better paid job, get a second job, get a third job, wear four jumpers, eat turnip peel, swallow Twitter sewage, forget COVID, what's an hospital? Grow fruit and veg in a childhood you never have. Stop questioning empire, stop ruining Downton Abbey and shut up. Get a better paid job, get a second job, get a third job, get a fourth job in cyber, skip breakfast. Convince yourself you'd rather swallow sewage because it's the price of free speech. Drink the weak tea of billionaires' dreams. Edit your parents' childhood to call the blue wall. Copper up for your kids, cheap academy blazers. Tell them learning means sit down, shut up, memorise the greatness of empire and shut up again. Stop looking after your elderly parents. Work for Amazon with a tag on. Come on, make Brexit work. We can't. Live the tough and street dream like 30p Lee, who's too dumb to see all the eating chaps. Snickering behind his back while they shaft his dad, untouchable as royalty. Brought the grandkids up academy chimneys, and when the work makes them cough, Rees-Mogg just scoffs and says, sit down, shut up and memorise. It's like in old films and comics, lose your memory after a bump on the head, get another bump on the head and the mist starts to clear. How that works, I've got no idea. I'm not a neurologist, ask Facebook's Brains Trust. Struggle upstream through a gaslit cocktail of think tank pamphlets and food bank photo opportunities. See a brighter future sweep downstream into past people cling to like driftwood dreams. Keep your mouth shut and try not to swallow the contents of the overflow. Keep your mouth shut and try not to swallow the contents of the overflow. Keep your mouth shut and try not to swallow the contents of the overflow. Keep your mouth shut and try not to swallow the contents of the overflow. So what? What to do? Well, darkness isn't driven out by calling out the darkness on Twitter. Darkness isn't driven out by quote-tweeting Joey Barton, Lawrence Fox or Tucker Carlson to condemn their attention-seeking toddler bile. Darkness isn't driven out by algorithmic outrage. Are we breathing the oxygen of complicity? Darkness, as Martin Luther King pointed out, can only be driven out by light. I have a dream that one day all the food banks will be no more. The lost souls up in by the bridge will have some real support. There'll be a school recorder orchestra in every former sink estate, driving parents mad, playing a quarter tone flat. And people come out Wednesdays to clap bus drivers and carers, and that lady with the lisp in the co-op who labours. I have a dream today. A tatty thing with feathers. I have a dream that the vision of kids will lift to a calling, supporting old Billy, who bundles all his life on his bike. That workers paying taxes, which pay for granny's carers, will get statue much grander than stately home slavers. That Twitter flag men bitter, spitting feathers will find compassion more alpha than dog whistle banter. I have a dream today. A frightened thing with feathers. I have a dream that the grieving widower will no longer feel the need to doom-scroll a thrilling rubber rainwear. The people realise Punk passed away in 77 and think of something original instead of buying it like vintage trainers. The Range Rover owners who previously looked down and told us how to cook dinners might rediscover the bonus in breezing down to Tesco on a bike with a basket and bump into friends on the way. I have a dream today. A fickle thing with feathers. I have a dream where the church will stay on its knees, save the drowning refugees, serve them breakfast on the beach in penitence for pervy priests. And one day we're reminded when a child almost died, stepped in front of a bus or got that gruesome prognosis, and dragged from our chest decaying screams of disbelief. Point of a sickly world like Moses' staff of the Red Sea. In love for all we hated, and do a rough equation that don't equal a cremation of forest ice caps or a child shoved back into mad seas of lies. I have a dream today. It keeps me awake at night. A terrified thing with feathers. Painting out Suella Mouse, 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 painting out Suella Mouse. So, what to do and how to do it? Well, this might seem like nostalgia, but it's not. In any case, the past people venerate was the glary, scary future when it first happened, and if it happened then, we at least know it's possible. And if times are bad now, don't forget Clegg came to the West Riding in 1945. And he did what he did because he believed it was better than what had gone before. He did what he did, and it benefited millions of people in the unloved North. He did what he did not because he thought the arts were lovely, but because teaching kids that way worked. It made them better learners. It made them happier people. It made them look at the world differently and want to create a better one. Art mimics the act of creation, and even a bad copy is a new thing. So, listener, what do you want the future to look like? What is it we want really? For what end and how? If it is something feasible, obtainable, let us dream it now. Let us sleep, let us pray, let us dream. Of a tide that raises all boats from two up, two down, back to back, via council house with lawns front and back, where children can learn to bowl and bat. Let us remember in sleep parents who just wanted for us to play, and grandparents, local and foreign, who made do, smoking their way to baffled graves. And all the voices who agree with me, and all the voices who disagree with me, and all the voices that buzz through cheap speakers and call us off the estate without us leaving, and the bog-standard comp where dreams are currency no matter how dumb, where the Brill Cream photography teacher took an old TV and built a sound mixer and showed us how before we fell away, dreaming at a shoebox full of valves. Let us sleep, let us pray, let us dream of something new made of old ideas recycled into foolproof admissions of our own fears. Of parents with dementia frightened back in the house, short-circuiting heads producing mad language I'll not learn till it's far too late. Till then, let us dream, not of money and stuff for ourselves, but of riches for the carers we will need. And we will not audit the money going in or going out any more than we audit the sea. Nor will we plunge in angry puppets to drown our hell-bent opinions in self-pity or blame locals or foreigners for the downside to long life any more than anyone in sound body or mind would wish for early death and never see their grandkids wasting time on the latest daft craze. Wasting time shifting sands under glass-bottom memories to cling to as seas rise, to value as other currencies capsize. Let us dream awake, let us dream awake, and let us dream awake of what we might want, really. For what end and how? For grandkids the size of pinheads, small as the faith needed to cling to lifeboats bobbing in the swell of war weather and split skies. Of Harry Smith's reminder that the good old days are for those who've given up on the present, and we can only fail if we fail to dream and allow a future just like Harry's past. So then, let us wake. Let us wake and grab history by the collar, drag it back to red-faced reality and ask ourselves this. What is it we want, really? For what end and how? If it is something feasible, obtainable, let us dream it now. What is it we want, really? For what end and how? If it is something feasible, obtainable, let us dream it now.
Love the nouns, love the pronouns. impersonal and personal. Love the words from ELFM.
Quando eu canto e a chuva cair.